Have you heard these words? Oh, get closer to God. Or, you know, take his hand. Or what about open your heart to him? Or why don't you allow God to come into your life? Or run to his presence. Have you heard those expressions ever? And then what is the next question that you have in your mind? How in the world am I going to do that? Yeah, open your heart to God. I don't even know who he is. How am I going to open my heart to him? Run to his presence. Where is he? All these expressions tells you about spiritual things that you can do. But sometimes they don't tell you what do you actually in the natural here in the now you need to do in order for that to happen. And I know that all of you, including myself, we're always looking for somebody that would put their hand on our shoulders, give us a hug, pray for us, give us a call when we are down, lift us up when we are in a bad situation. We all want that. And suddenly, when we're looking for that, somebody tells us, oh, just get closer to God. And then after that, what are you left with? You are left with more questions. Because you don't know. You have no idea how to do that. You have no idea how to get closer to God, how to be in his presence. It's so metaphorical that you really can do it. So give me something that I can touch, something that I can do in order to get to the presence of God. You know, the disciples were really blessed. Because when somebody told a disciple, oh, you know, just go closer to God, what they needed to do? Just walk right there with Christ and hug him. He was right there. But we don't have that advantage. We don't have the advantage of Jesus Christ's presence right here with us where we can touch him, we can hug him, we can give him a kiss, or he can put his hands over us and heal us and protect us and push us. We don't have him here. And he knew that. And as I was reading my Bible during this week, early in the morning, I found that Jesus actually did tangible things with his disciples in order for them to learn and to understand what it means to get closer to him. What it means to touch him, what it means to hear his voice, what it means to spend time with him or get closer to him or open your heart to him. And he did with his disciples very practical things. So open your Bibles in Mark 6. Open your Bibles in Mark 6. And there are several things in this sequence of events in the life of Jesus Christ and his disciples that actually are going to teach us how to actually get closer to the Lord. And out of curiosity, and if you don't want to lift up your hand, it's fine. But out of curiosity, how many of you allow the first thing in your life, in your day, to be talking to God? Anybody that wants to raise their hands? Okay. You know, if you are not allowed, for some reason, whatever that reason is, and we're not here to judge or anything, but if you're not allowed your relationship with God to be the first thing in your day, you're not doing the most important thing of the day. Why? Because your heart is going to betray you. You know that? Your heart betrays you. You get up in the morning and you say, okay, you know, I'm going to do all these things first. And when I'm done with that, I'm just going to look for God. What happens? Your heart betrays you. The day goes all the way to the end, sundown, and what happens? Your conscience is killing you because you didn't. You did everything that you needed to do, the things that you thought were important in your life, but you didn't do the most important thing, that it was to look for His presence. So, one of the practical things for you is to start doing that. The first thing in the morning and the first activity that you would do is look for His face. How do you do that? The disciples were tired. In chapter 5 of Mark, you're going to find the disciples going two by two everywhere. And you know what they did? They walk a lot. You know, there's no metro, there's no buses, there's no taxis, nothing. And they were poor, so they cannot even afford a donkey. All right? So they had to walk. Had to walk everywhere they went. And Jesus Christ told them, hey, you 12, what you're going to do right now is that you're going to pair, and you're going to go out there, and you're going to repeat exactly the same things that I've been doing. You know what Jesus has been doing? If you read Matthew, and if you read the beginning of Mark, you're going to find out that Jesus was doing what? Miracles, exactly. Exactly, Elizabeth. He was doing miracles right and left. What kind of miracles? He was healing. What else? He was raising people from the dead. He was preaching, casting out demons. All those things. And guess what? The disciples went out there and did exactly the same thing. How many of you are Christ's disciples? I am. I am a Christ disciple. Have you ever resurrected anybody from the dead? I'm waiting. I'm waiting when God in His mercy does something awesome in this church with His disciples, you and I. So there he goes. The disciples are exhausted from doing miracles. And they come back to Jesus. And Jesus, what is the first thing that he does? He listens to him, to them. Every single one of them is telling them, oh, look, we did this and we did that. In your name, we just cast out demons and we heal. And people were in awe. And we were telling them about you. And one of the first things, very, very practical thing, you find in Mark 6, the last part of the verse 31. Let's start with 31, first part. Then, because so many people were coming and going, and that they did not even have a chance to eat, He said to them, come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some what? And get some rest. How many of you had a pretty ugly, busy week? Anybody? Anybody? Friday came and you were dead. Well, you know what God is asking you to do? Very simple thing. Come with me, alone, by yourself. And what? And rest. And He asks you to do that every single day. Because I know that every single one of you has a rough day every day. So at the end, God is telling you, you know what? You by yourself, come, rest with me. And rest with God is very simple. Sit down, go into your room, close the door, and just be quiet in His presence. I know that is a difficult thing, huh? Because we have the radio on all day. Because we have the internet all day. We have the TV all day. We have everything that moves too fast. But if you really want to rest your body, your soul, your mind, and your spirit, just sit down. Turn off the lights. Close your windows. If you don't like the dark, then turn on a light. But just quietly, patiently, wait there, rest. If you want to fall asleep in the presence of God, that's exactly what the disciples were doing here. After a hard time of working, God, Jesus Christ, you tell, come with me. And we're going to rest. And even if you do God's work, it's okay to rest. They did God's work. And they were being asked by God to just relax. Come down. Wind down. And come with me in a quiet place. And the activities went on. When you rest, then you have the energy to move on into what God is asking you to do. And the work of Jesus ended because they rested? No. They just recharged their batteries in the presence of Jesus Christ. And something awesome was about to happen. Jesus Christ was preaching. There was a thousand people, more than 1,000 people right there. And they've been listening to Jesus Christ over and over and over and over. And they didn't leave. They just were hungry for the word of God. They were just hungry for the presence of Jesus. They were hungry to be healed. And the disciples were a little bit uncomfortable because Jesus have not eaten. They haven't. The whole people that were there were not eating. And the Bible says there were about how many people there? About 5,000 men only. And you know, when there is a spiritual meeting, there's always more men or women. No matter where you go, there's always more women. So I can assume that day, the Bible says that there were 5,000 people there, just men. So I can assume that at least were another 5,000 what? Women. And what about the children? You know, it was a blessing to have children in the Israelite times. So you bet that at least every single mom had what? One single kid. You know, if they were Mexican, then that would be like 20,000 people there, right? Right? Latinos? Ask me. My family is like 12. So there you go. And they said, go and fill up the earth, and what happened? And that's what the Israelites did. So there were at least another 5,000 what? Another 5,000 kids. 15,000 people in the presence of Jesus. And the disciples said, you know what? Go and give you, go buy some stuff and give them food. Can't give them food? It will take the whole salary, my whole salary, for 1 year to feed all these people. And what happened? If you want to get very close to the presence of God, what do you need to do? The other practical thing, you find it right there in verse 38. Jesus Christ told them, how many loaves do you have? He asked, go and see. When they found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. Was that enough? Let's say this place was filled up with 15,000 people. And you bring me 2 loaves and how many fish? Five breads and 2 fishes. I mean, how many are we here today, right now? Like about 100? Would 5 pieces of bread and 2 fish be enough for all of us? Not enough for me, yeah. Not enough only for myself. So if I tell you, Doug, here, 5 pieces of bread and 2 fishies, feed all these people, what would you tell me? Do you have your Costco card by any chance? That's the only thing that we could do. It's just go somewhere else. But what you have, it seems impossible for everything that you need to do. But what did the disciples were asked to do? Jesus Christ said, bring it to me. What Jesus Christ is asking you to do is whatever you have, it doesn't matter if it's much or if it's little. You need to do what? Just to bring it to him. Can you multiply bread and fish? Can you multiply your paycheck? Can you multiply your time? Can you multiply your effort? Or can you multiply your health? Can you? No, none of us can. And the only thing, the only practical thing that he's telling you to do is bring it to me. You say, Lord, here's my health. It's broken. I'm bringing it to you. Can you multiply it? Lord, you know, my paycheck was really small today, this week, but I'm bringing it to you so you can multiply it. And the disciples couldn't understand, but they did. Whatever they had, they brought it to Jesus Christ. And when they brought it to Jesus Christ, what happened? A miracle, something that you and I cannot do. In his hands was multiplied. Was multiplied, and every single one that was sitting down, 15,000 people, what happened? Ate. Not only that, after the disciples were and put all together, and they had 12 baskets left. So when you bring everything to him, when you bring your time, your money, you dedicate your money, your time, your effort, everything to him, your health, your decisions, your bad time in the job or a problem at home with somebody, you bring it to him, not only he multiplies it, but then he overflows with blessings. And the only thing that you need to do is bring whatever you have into his presence. After working hard, all day, all night sometimes, you know what Jesus did? And this amazes me. This amazes me. Because if you ask him to do this in your life, he will. You know that he gives strength to the weak, right? Have you ever experienced that? I don't know if you have ever experienced that. But Jesus Christ was working hard. He had to dismiss the whole multitude because he was already too tired. And I bet that it was not at 10 o'clock at night or 11 o'clock at night. Maybe it was really early in the morning when he dismissed all the people. And Mark in verse 46 says, after leaving them, he went up onto the mountain to do what? To pray. It's amazing. But prayer releases power. It doesn't matter what time you spend in prayer, in the presence of God, you are going to receive power. It releases power from heaven. And he was tired, very tired. And what he did, he went up into the mountains. Every single night, I go to bed and I ask God, God, you wake me up. You wake me up at the time that you want me to wake up. And the other day, for circumstances, I went to bed at 1 o'clock in the morning. And I said, God, you wake me up. Whatever time you want me to be with you and you're going to be waiting for me, you wake me up. And I said, I know God is going to be considerate. He's going to wake me up at 7 or at 8. You know what time he woke me up? At 3. He woke me up at 3, the spiritual hour. And the interesting thing is that even though I went to bed at 1, I could read my Bible and I could pray without feeling sleepy. The funny thing was, the night when I was done, like at around 4:15, went right out to bed. Knocked out until 7 o'clock in the morning. Because he gives you strength. And that is a very practical thing that you can do. Always stay time to pray. If you had a very hard week, take time to pray. If you have hard times in your life, take time to spend it alone with him, praying, talking to him. And if you do this as your first job every day, he's going to give you strength. Believe me, he does. And after that, spending time with him, praying, Jesus Christ needed to be alone. And he said, you disciples, you go into the other side of the lake and I'll follow later. You remember that story? When they went by themselves into the lake, you know what happened? You remember what happened? What happened? Anybody? A big old storm came out, right? And the disciples were scared because they thought that that little boat was going to sink and they were going to die. And they were just praying and holding to dear life. And that boat was like a little leaf in the ocean, about to be crushed. And they were praying for the presence of God and for a miracle to happen. And then there Jesus is, walking on water. And they got even more scared because they thought it was a ghost. But when they realized that it was Jesus, Jesus did something very interesting. He walked. When they saw Jesus, was the storm calm when they saw Jesus? No. When Jesus was very close to the boat, was the storm calmed? No. If you read your Bibles, when was the storm calmed? When Jesus stepped in. And everything was calm. A lot of times, we are in the troubles of our lives, and we see Jesus far away. But it's not until Jesus is very close to us in the midst of our problem where everything is what? Everything is shut down. And sometimes you have to hold into the storm with his presence, and then the storm calms down. Does he have the power to calm the storm down? Of course. He has the power to just calm anything. But sometimes we feel strong and we think that we can take our boat safely to the port. And we don't need help. We have strong arms and we have strong will and we have strong mind. And Jesus is out there in the storm. And our boat is going up and down. And Jesus is still there, out there. And he's asking you, he will not do anything that will go against your will. And the only thing that he's asking you is, can I come in? Can I come in into your boat? If you allow me into your boat, then I can be the master of this boat and everything is going to be okay. And sometimes we just keep him out. We keep him out because we think we have the power to do so. So in a practical way, when you have a problem, just allow Jesus Christ to come into the boat. Tell him, here is my problem. I really don't know how to give it to you. I really don't. But here, I'm allowing you to come into my boat, into my storm, into this terrible situation in my life, and I want you to take care of this situation. And I think that every single one that has put a little request in this place is allowing God to be God. God, come into my boat. You are the one that can take care of whatever I can't. And you know, if they would have not allowed, I would say, Jesus come into the boat, they would have to struggle all the way along the storm. But Jesus Christ is telling you, you know, come, pray with me, spend time with me. Allow me into your boat, and everything after that will be calm. Then he climbed into the boat with them, and the wind died down. And they were completely amazed. You know, and that's that reaction that you get when you allow Jesus to come into your life and you see the awesome miracle that he has for you. You are completely amazed. You look into the problem and you said, wow, I didn't know that this problem is going to get fixed. I didn't know. And sometimes God gives you a twist in such ways that you don't know where the solution is coming. And when you realize, you said, oh, wow, I didn't know that God was going to do that. I didn't know that. So, come to him. Open your minds and your hearts by spending time with him every morning. If you're tired, rest in Him. Be by yourself in the morning or in the afternoon. Talk to Him. Pray. And what happens to you is what happened to every single one that Jesus touched. At the end of the chapter, and all who were touched by Him were healed. Sometimes we don't even want God to touch us. But if you do, if you look for Him in the morning with prayer and with learning about Him and His Word, and you're at peace with Him, He will touch you, and healing will come. So be blessed. Be blessed this Sabbath. And do these practical things. Spend time with Him alone, praying, asking Him to come into your life, giving Him every single thing that you might have that you cannot solve. And He will touch you, and He will heal you. Thank you, Lord, for the presence of Jesus Christ in our lives. May we take time every single morning to look for You and accept Your invitation to come and rest. And as we rest, we pray and talk to You that way. And we hear Your voice by reading Your Word. Come into the most difficult parts of our lives or any problem in our lives and calm the storm down and touch us so we can be healed. In the name of Jesus, amen.